Welcome to On the Air with Accounting Today. Today we're talking about integrating technology into your firm's growth strategy. This episode is brought to you by Cabbage, with a K, which helps businesses access up to $250,000 of funding. Refer a small business to Cabbage, and you'll get $250 for every qualified customer. Learn more at cabbage.com/accounting. Welcome to On the Air with Accounting Today. I'm Dan Hood, Editor-in-Chief. We're immersed in so much technologies these days that it's easy to lose sight of how technology's role is changing. It's gone from merely enabling our everyday work to becoming a key component of our ability to thrive in the future. And here to talk about that shift and how accounting firms can manage it is Gail Crosley. She's one of the foremost consultants to the accounting profession and a longtime member of our list of the top 100 most influential people and generally a highly regarded thought leader. Gail, thanks for joining us.
Thank you very much for the invite.
Let's start with, you've been a growth consultant for a long time and in the last several years, I think you have brought technology into a much higher focus in that practice. Why is that? Why have you done that? And why is technology becoming so much more important to the accounting profession?
It's so interesting. I started my practice 16 years ago, and I had spent many, many years in technology, but I kind of had to hang up my tights there because there was no intersection between technology and growth consulting. Right. But I've been watching it over the last few years, and technology has really come out of the back room where it was the foundation of our infrastructure, our time and billing systems, and so forth, and come into the front room originally with social media, but now much more comprehensively as it is now underpinning our very services that we're providing to firms. And it's been a rather, I will say, abrupt change because it's only come on maybe the last 3 years in any significant way, mm-hmm. but it is moving at lightning pace. And of all the time that I have or the years that I had in technology, I don't think I've, in fact, I know I haven't seen a transformation this significant in my career.
It's interesting, we were talking a little bit earlier and you mentioned a statistic that I found terrifying and I think will be even more terrifying for some of our listeners. You mentioned, we were talking about why it's going to be so important, why technology is going to matter so much to growth and particularly to revenue. Mm-hmm. And you mentioned that the firms, whether they know it or not, might be facing, and I think you said as much as evaporation of as much as 40% of their revenues going forward. Some of that's tied to commoditization and technology taking over some of these roles and some other things. And technology is going to play a role in hopefully replacing some of that evaporation. Maybe you could talk a little about the implications technology has for growth and for revenue.
Well, as a growth consultant, when you think about it, I am helping my firms both protect and grow their revenue. So when I hear pundits talk about the statistics of up to 40% of our revenues, and of course there's estimates all over the board, but the point about it is that it's going to be a rather large number, whatever it is, are going to evaporate based upon today's pricing, billable hour pricing model. So we've got a situation here where the value of our services are in the advice and counsel we give. That doesn't require, you know, a lot of time as much as it requires a lot of brain power. And then we have all of our revenue, or a very significant part of our revenues, being driven by compliance and things that bots and other technologies are going to be taken over. And so that is one of the big issues that we have to face.
So on the one hand, technology is going to be taking away or causing the revenue to evaporate. But on the other hand, it has the option, the opportunity for to replace a lot of it.
Well, first of all, we take a look at, and before I get into that, I'll get into the pricing model itself, right? Because we're going to need to grapple with the pricing model and really take a look at what is the replacement going to be. The consultant out here, Michelle Golden River, who's doing advanced pricing consulting work, has some marvelous things to say about how do you segue into advanced pricing models. So that's one thing, that we can't just sit here and say, okay, now we guesstimate that this is what's going to happen, and then let's just drop our prices. That's not going to work very well. I was talking to a data analyst recently about a project that he did where he went into a CPA firm and looked at the auditor templates for a specific piece of the audit and manufacture for their manufacturing company clients. And through data analytics and his ability to impact that particular procedure, the 5 hours that were dedicated to it now has gone down to 15 minutes. So, yeah, it's just like incredible. What we are going to need to do beyond the pricing model is to get our arms around going from, we've all got the memo now, everybody knows that it's coming, and some believe that it's coming sooner than others, but the bottom line, it is coming. Now it's just a matter of how quickly. We've got to get into a situation where we go from, we have no thoughts, to we're going to commercialize new services. And that is the progression that is going to be needed in our firms in order to get to where we need to be.
Gotcha. Maybe you could take us a little bit through that roadmap in a little bit more detail. Maybe it's because for a lot of firms, like you said, this is really the last few years. I think a lot of firms may not be aware that they're going to need to make this change. And certainly many, a similar number are not going to know how to do it.
Right.
Go through that roadmap in a little bit more detail. That would be great.
Well, before I go there, let me talk a little bit about the technologies themselves.
Oh, sure.
And then that'll help put sort of meat on the bones of when we go to the roadmap, the listener will be able to visualize it. But basically, we've got five and a half, I'll call it six technology enablers that we're really working with. And you asked me earlier today, well, you know, there's been technologies along the years that, you know, that have come, you know, hither and yon. So why is now such a time of transformation? And it's because it's not just one technology. We've got like half a dozen. And there's a confluence right now of all these technologies that are driven by a few things. This is the one that you said, well, Gail, what's the one that's, you know, is there one that sticks out? And there's absolutely one that is an enabler that's significant, and we didn't know it at the time, and that is the cloud.
Right.
So the cloud, when we started using it in accounting firms, was over in the client accounting services area, and the kind of the redheaded stepchild of the firm, you know, kind of the low margin bookkeeping stuff. And a lot of firms dismissed it as, you know, just one of these tools, and, you know, we'll use the tool, QuickBooks Online or whatever. But what we didn't realize at the time is that we went from a situation where we were had episodic contact with a client to continuous contact. And that changed everything. Because when you think about going to continuous contact, you can be online looking at their ledger at the same time they are. It changes the communication dynamic. It changes the pricing model. No longer does the billable hour really work. And so there are all kinds of things that we've learned with cloud, the ability to access data and now have large amounts of data available to us. And so from there, what's happened is we've had these massive ability to store data in the cloud, right? So now you have access to huge, huge amounts of cloud capability. And then through Moore's Law, the capacity is, I think you said, doubling or whatever about every 18 months. So that's happening.
Right.
So now we've got lots and lots of capability in the cloud for lots and lots of data and other technologies now that are, you know, can be accessed by many. So the technologies, before I get to the way stations themselves, and this is sort of the order that we think, and I say we, Alan Anderson and I, formerly from the AICPA, sure, sat down one day about a year and a half ago, and I said, Alan, of all the technologies, what order do we think they're going to come to market in? Because it's shifting around, but he said, we are seeing this, that data analytics is the first one out the door. It's been with us. There are parallel universes right now that have been using data analytics much more than the CPA firms have been. So data analytics is the first one. Then artificial intelligence. And artificial intelligence, I'm going to say there's yet a third one there that's sort of tucked under artificial intelligence, but it's robotic process automation. And then we have cybersecurity. And then we have continuous audit. And then we have blockchain. So anyway, those are some big areas, right? Some big areas of technology. And it could be so overwhelming for a firm to say, oh my gosh, you know, there's so many technologies and, you know, how am I going to know them, digest them, figure out what to do to get from where I am today to where I am tomorrow. So So circling all the way back to your question in the five way stations. The first one, all right, so everybody knows, okay, it's coming, right? So we're sitting here, we're the managing partner of the firm, and we've got, you know, the firm and our resources and our people, our clients. Now what do? We've got to start with going from having no thoughts to having some thoughts. And the reason why it's so important to have specialization baked into your firm already is because when you have specialization, you have industry leaders and you have service line leaders, and you can have these people responsible for the strategic direction and financial health of your markets or your services. And as a result, when you think about it, innovation, which is what we're talking about, is part of that strategic direction and financial health. So we take each of our industry and service line leaders, and the first thing they do is research. So research allows you to go from having no thoughts to having some thoughts, and also finding some other people who have more thoughts than you have, right. And that's important too, so that you can sponsor their thoughts. While you are getting up to speed and getting some thoughts, you can not delay getting them to, you know, get into, you know, sponsor them into your firm and into your clients and communicating and so forth out their thoughts. But the point about it is when our leaders do the research on those six technology enablers, they come back. In fact, I have a picture on my phone of my star pupil who came back on Monday of this week with a wheelie cart and all his research. And I'm going to put that in one of my future PowerPoints because I said to him, you got it, man. That's the gold star. But at any rate, they come in and it's such a marvelous transformation. Because it's, I have seen the light, you know? Okay, go tell me which of these six are going to be the most significant in manufacturing, because there's usually one in each industry, right, that tends to be the leading one. Some are cybersecurity, some are artificial intelligence, some are data analytics, and blockchain, all of them. And so it's marvelous because we can start pairing up the industries and the problems that each industry perceives as their number one most critical problem and the technology that's going to be partnered in, if you will, or matched in with that industry. So now we have some breakdowns between which industries and which technologies.
It gives you a framework through which to view the change, rather than being, like you said, sort of overwhelmed by all six. How do I approach them? It gives you some way to figure out what you got to look at first.
Exactly. And also what happens is that they become informed now. They become readers and studiers and become informed, and it dawns on them that they own this. They have to own this themselves, and the way that they're going to own it is they're going to start, if commercialization of new services is over here, you know, five steps away, then step number one is let's go research and get some thoughts. And you're probably going to say, well, great, then what's step two?
Aren't we done yet? That seemed like a lot. But all right, so we've got our wheelie cart full of thoughts.
We're
in good shape. What's our next way station?
So what happens next is after you do the research, then you take the thoughts that you've gotten, and now you display thought leadership. You communicate thought leadership out to your constituents. So your clients and to your non-clients, to the market. And therefore, As buyers and potential buyers are learning about the technologies, they are going to learn about it from somebody, and that somebody might as well be you. Certainly, you wouldn't want it to be from one of your competitors. So you're positioning yourself as forward-thinking and cutting-edge in your market, which is going to be incredibly important to sort of till the soil so that when you come along with your innovation, that the soil is tilled and you have already been positioned for the last many months or a few years as the go-to place.
Right.
And so that's the communication of the thoughts. The other thing then that you do is you find early adopters. And you find early adopters by communicating your thoughts out in the market. And as you're interviewing clients and others and discussing with them all the various piece parts of the technologies, that you throw out a proposition which goes something like this: we are working on all of these technologies in terms of figuring out where they're going to fit, and we are going to be launching early adopter programs over the next many months. So, and we're looking for early adopters who might want to participate with us in commercializing some of these technologies. And would you be interested in potentially participating in an early adopter program? So we don't have to have all the things buttoned down on the early adopter program. All we need to do is make sure that we are identifying forward-thinking and like-minded clients and other friends of the firm who might want to participate with us in early adopter programs. So you can see that we are concurrently now thought leadershipping into the market, finding early adopters, and also concurrently what we're doing is, remember when we did all that research, we found resources. We found consultants and vendors and others who would and could participate with us in our early adopter projects. Now, this is a really important element because we don't have time to wait for all these college kids to come out, you know, and get themselves, yeah, spun up over the years to come. We need some plug and play resources that we can draw on right now. I say to you, the most valuable animal out there in the forest right now, in my mind, is a data analyst. If you can find a data analyst, put a lasso on him and get him in your firm working with you.
Yeah, they're going to be high demand, right?
I mean to tell you, and once you draw on, could be university professors, it could be data analysts, consultants, vendors, other thought leaders, then what happens is that you're inserting them not only in your thought leadership activities, but also in your early adopter activities. And you can ride co-pilot while they help you commercialize something. So through your interviews in the market, you're finding out which industries are the ones that are paired up with which technologies. You already know because of your research where the resources are for those early adopter projects, and now you're ready to get specific about your early adopter projects, and your early adopter can get in there with you, and you don't necessarily need to show up and say, I've got it all baked, here it is. You show up and say, let's figure it out together. What's the scope of it? What's the business problem to solve? What's the scope of it? What does this look like? And the early adopter is working that with you. And the early adopter gives you feedback on strategy, not only the service itself, but the distribution channels and the targets. And then as you go through the early adopter program, they give you all this feedback, and then you pick out the appropriate tactic to execute and launch and get to commercialization.
All right. Well, that's a great roadmap. I mean, that's something. I mean, I think that takes a lot of the fear out of the fear and uncertainty out, right? If you have some specific steps, you can take it every way along the line. I'm interested because you reminded me. I was talking to somebody yesterday about a consulting firm that had partnered with some faculty at a nearby college, and they had gotten a data analytics student to write consultation with the consulting firm to write a very specific program aimed at. It was aimed at something very specific, anti-fraud, for a very specific type of client. And they built this program. Then they for the student, it was their PhD, but some kind of serious project for them as part of their education. But for the firm, it was something they could turn around and sell to clients and implement as part of their services to that specific type of client. So it's interesting we talk about the broad range of people you can bring into your early adopter programs and broad range of thought leaders you can sort of co-opt from all kinds of different areas. Gives an example of that. It is going to be an important area for, particularly as firms look to innovate. Innovation is a word we hear a lot. We're hearing it bounced around a lot in the profession these days. And how do you innovate? I think a lot of people think of innovation as something that's done by tech firms or that's done in somebody's garage in Palo Alto. But it's something you can easily do in your office. Just if you've got the information from the research that you need to do and you've got connections with the right people, right. A lot of the innovation can be in your head, and then other people can actually do the actual writing of code or coming up with the processes. You can partner with people for that. You're going to need to. I think one of your points is we're going to need to do that because this needs to happen fairly quickly.
Right.
We're not going to be able to develop it entirely organically in our own firms or in the profession itself.
Exactly. We are paralleling. We've got to parallel it with the development of our people within the firms also. And one of the things that's beautiful in the research, because the research is around peers and vendors and universities and the other thought leaders. And when we get into the university piece, we will find certificate programs, degree programs for our current employees and our current professionals. And right now, we're not going to have to have people flocking to the managing partner saying, "Coach, put me in to this new stuff." I mean, people don't do that. Right. So the firm is going to have to be purposeful about how they communicate the changes to the rank and file so that they don't scare the pants off of them, and make sure that they realize that it's a clear path to some wonderfulness down the road. We're all going to be consultants and data analysts at some level, right. And as a result of that, the consultative piece is a skill set that needs to be acquired. So we have people leaning out, not leaning in, and we're going to need to send a message from the top that says, anybody who's interested in leaning in, this is a wonderful opportunity, come see me, right. So that we can start pulling them out of our current ranks, getting them through some certificate programs, and getting them in a state of readiness to participate on these early adopter projects.
One of my favorite quotes about technology is the whole notion of you don't need to know how to build a watch, you just need to know how to tell time.
Yes.
And I think there's an application here, right? Because you can find a lot of great watchmakers out there. You're talking about the people you can partner with, people you can work with. And obviously, at some point, you may want a watchmaker on staff, or you may want to train somebody to be a watchmaker. But for right now, a lot of that training, a lot of the sort of approach that firms can take is just to get educated on what data analytics can do, for instance, or what are the cybersecurity issues that they need to know about. It's that getting some thoughts aspect of things. It's not necessarily going back to school and getting an MBA in data analytics or statistics or econometrics or whatever the case may be. It's just getting your hands around what's available and who you need to talk to for the expertise.
Absolutely, because we have the young people coming up that are more far more technology centric than the people who are in place right now, right? But I get a lot of questions about, well, how are we going to train these people if they can't, if they're not going to sit down and do 1040s for 3 years and we'll throw a sandwich over the fence? And I'm like, wait a minute, let's just be frank here. You're not still using an abacus. We got past that. And we're not still using a comptometer. We got past that. And you're not still using a 10 key. We got past that. We're now on computers, and we don't have to go back and learn how to work with an abacus in order to get our jobs done. And it's the same concept.
They've got to do 10,000 1040s to be trained. We didn't have them do 10,000 1040s to get trained. We had them do 10,000 1040s so we could bill for the 10,000 1040s. And then over the course of that time, they happened to learn a lot. You can learn a lot faster, a lot easier. You can learn how to, learn what you need to know from a tax return a lot quicker than doing 10,000 tax returns. So.
Truly.
Excellent. All right. Well, that's a great way to think about technology and the increasing role and important role it's going to play in accounting firms. I mean, I won't say essential role it's going to play for the profession going forward. The way stations are a great way to get people start thinking about it. Any final thoughts you want to leave our listeners with?
I believe that my final thought is that technology and growth were in two separate, buckets. Now they have converged together. And as a result, technology is driving growth and will be for the foreseeable many, many years. And in that regard, getting the IT department or person, what have you, involved not only in the internal workings of the back room systems of the firm, but getting them out with the industry and service line leaders and you guys go shopping together. You go shopping for the vendors that you're going to need. You go shopping and have them right up there close and personal so that they can see that your market is informing where you're going to go, that you went out and interviewed people in manufacturing and they're interested in cybersecurity and the Internet of Things, and therefore your technology guy and you, if you're the manufacturing leader, need to go shopping for vendors and consultants that can help you get there. And so that's my last recommendation.
It's a great set of thoughts. The whole thing is, like I said, I think you've given people a great handle on this area. So thank you very much.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
Look for new episodes of On the Air with Accounting Today every Monday at accountingtoday.com or subscribe to us on Google Play or iTunes. And if there's a topic you'd like us to explore, let us know by emailing actoday@sourcemedia.com.